We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." I read two verses from the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, clean, decent, religionist, a fair-minded, intelligent, normal human being, a man that had the power of observation. He'd heard some of the things Jesus said. He'd seen some things he did. He knew his story, the miracles he was performing. What is he saying? And it was so unlike anybody else. Nicodemus went to see him at night and said, "You're a teacher, and a teacher come from God." And he began to talk to him. He wanted Jesus to teach him. But Jesus said to him in substance, "I can't teach you. I can't teach you. You wouldn't know what I'm talking about." What's that? A religionist. Yes, you can't understand. A scholar. But you can't understand this. You know, it's strange how we fail to listen to these simple statements of the Bible. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's blind and he can't see. Somebody said to me not long ago, said, he's a great scholar. He's a great Bible student. He's not a Christian, but he's a great scholar. He knows the Word. Now, wait a minute. You don't learn the Word by studying it that way. You know, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel. What is the gospel? Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried. The third day he rose from the dead according to the Scripture. Christ died on the cross for sinners. Now, that gospel itself, not explained, not taught, but proclaimed, is the power of God unto salvation. Now, you know, people talk about taking years on the mission field to train people. Got to go to the mission field, you know, and stay maybe 20 years. Some wonderful story before they ever get a convert. There's something wrong with a missionary. If a missionary knows a language, and the missionary goes to a jungle, to a heathen land, to a pagan country, and begins to give the gospel, he'd have conversions. Paul went to Athens. Athens was a pagan city. And a pagan city, though educated, is no better than the jungles where savage tribes live as far as spiritual life is concerned. So Paul went there to Athens, and he preached a sermon. And as soon as he started preaching, he had converts. He had persecution. He had the procrastinators that put the thing off. Said, "We'll hear you later." But some were converted. Now, you can go anywhere in the world and proclaim the gospel. It has in itself inherent power. And you can't teach men spiritually until they are born again. Now, that's something we need to learn. Of course you don't understand. Of course you can't understand. The Lord said you couldn't understand. You can't understand music and respond to it if you have none in your soul. You have to have it in you, and it gets into you by the power of the gospel, by regenerating grace, by being saved, by being born again. Now he goes on down here and said, "Verily, verily, I say, except a man be born of water and of his Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now I want us to settle one thing once for all. Water here does not refer to baptism. There's nothing about this that refers to baptism. This business of water birth and the supernatural birth or the spirit birth had reference to two births. The whole connection proves it. The facts of human birth prove it. Now, know this. That which is born of water, see, it had to be born of water and of the spirit. When you are born in this world, you're born of water. That's the natural birth. When you're born again, you're born of the spiritual birth. That's the spiritual birth. Now, it's the two births he's talking about. He's not talking about one birth that water had anything to do with whatsoever. Water has nothing to do with salvation. You're saved by grace through faith in the atoning blood of the Son of God. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. You can't earn salvation. You can't pay for it after you get it. You don't get salvation by obedience. You get salvation by faith. That's where you receive it. Now, when you become a child of God, you are then ready to be taught. You're ready to obey. You're ready to do what God wants you to do. But you have to be born again. Now, it's so clear here. He said, that which is born of flesh is of the flesh, is flesh. See? That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say, except man be born of water, that's a natural birth, and of the Spirit, that's a supernatural birth, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, if you're a Christian, you're twice born. You're born to this world. You came as a little baby, and you had a natural birth. And then, if you're a Christian, you had another birth. Not joining the church, not taking communion, not being baptized, not turning a new leaf, not reforming. It's a new birth, just as definite, just as real as the first birth. Now, Jesus made that clear. It's definite. You couldn't have it clearer. And if you haven't been born again now, you are lost. You're a natural person. You are not supernatural. You have no supernatural life. You may have a troubled conscience because you don't live up to the light you have. You know, you can train your conscience. Your conscience is regulated by what you believe. You know, if a Catholic doesn't go to Mass on Sunday morning, his conscience hurts him because he believes in that. Now, a Protestant conscience doesn't hurt him for staying away from Mass because he's not a Catholic. See how it goes? You see, what you believe regulates your conscience. Paul persecuted Christians in all good conscience. See? Know how he did it? Never hurt his conscience at all. He thought he was doing God's service because he didn't believe right. After he is converted, he wouldn't have harmed anybody on earth, sinner or Christian. He wouldn't have persecuted anybody. Now, his conscience was regulated by what he believed. And your conscience is regulated by what you believe. You know, some people tell you to keep Saturday for the Sabbath. I don't think so, because I know the Old Testament, the Sabbath was given to the Jews as a race, was never given to the nations of the world. I know that, but I'm not arguing about it. But I know some people, if they worked on Saturday, their conscience would hurt them. Mine wouldn't hurt me. Not a particle. I keep the Lord's Day, and glad I do. But I know some people, if they kept what we call the Lord's Day a Sunday, their conscience is hurt. Now, a man's conscience is regulated by what he believes. Let's remember that now. Now, a man can't have the right kind of conscience without the right kind of creed. If your creed's wrong, your conscience is wrong. Let's remember that. Now, we talk about living right. You can have a troubled conscience. Your mother taught you how to live. You don't live right. You do something you know you shouldn't have done. And you do have a conscience. And your conscience hurts you. And maybe the Holy Spirit operates on you. But you can't understand until you are born again. Now, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, you're a natural man. You may be educated, may be cultured, may be intelligent, you may be kind-hearted, you may be a respectable person, but it's the flesh. All of it's the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's natural. Doesn't mean necessarily that you're not a nice man, a nice woman, but you're just not a saved man or a saved woman. I've known some sinners who naturally were nicer, I thought, than some professing Christians. But they weren't saved people. I've known people that were so gentlemanly and so ladylike and so fine and cultured and understanding. You just couldn't hardly understand how they're lost. But Jesus Christ is talking. Don't blame me now. You just have to get in contact with him and fix this up. I can't fix it for you. I'm telling you what he said. Now, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now, that's all. May be cultured flesh. May be educated flesh. It may be flesh with some kind of traits. Like I've said many a time, animals can be very nice sometimes. You know, I've thought sometimes we men and women might learn some good lessons from cats and dogs and gentle horses. And we used to have a horse that everybody in the community could climb on all over him. He wouldn't move. Some would hold on to his tail, some to his mane, get up on him and climb everywhere in more room. He'd just stand there, never throw any children over. If I had that many fools crawling on me, I'd throw something down, wouldn't you? I used to watch that horse, how the horse would take it. But he was an animal, had no spiritual life, didn't even have a soul. That dog has no soul, just an animal. And you can have some nice traits, and all right, you can be kind to your children. So the dogs, so animals kind of their children. You can have a lot of traits. They don't even have any souls, and they are. When they die, that's the last of them, but you won't be the last of you. You'll be living on and on and on forever. Now, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, when you become a Christian, you still have the flesh. The flesh is what you are naturally. And you have imparted to you something that you never had before. It's just as real as the first life. You have your spiritual thirst, your spiritual hunger, your spiritual appetite, your spiritual longings, a spiritual nature. And that spiritual nature is responsive to God, see. Now, we read in the Bible, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. After a while, your body will die. The natural man will go back to the dust. But that spirit life of yours goes on and on and on. Your immortal soul, quickened by this power of God, made anew in Jesus Christ. So that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Many women, if I were you, I wouldn't take any chance. Well, you say, how can this be? Well, I'll tell you, it's very plain in the Bible. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become children of God, even them that believe on his name. What's that? I become a child of God by receiving Jesus as my Savior. I just trust him. I don't trust my church or my baptism. I don't trust anything I can do. I don't even trust somebody's prayer to do it for me. I trust Jesus. I trust Jesus. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Even them that believe on his name. Believing on his name is receiving Jesus. His name is Jesus. That means a Savior. So believing on his name is believing on his Savior. Now you can be born again. You can become a child of God. From this moment on, if you want to now, would really like to be, you can have a new nature. That which is born in the flesh, you have that already. That which is born in the spirit is spirit. If you haven't that, you can have it. May God help you today to trust him. Now, Father, help somebody to trust you today. May we meet somebody in heaven sometime because of this little simple message we've tried to bring. Give us the convicting power of the Spirit of God, and we may be right with thee. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.